We've been facing increasing funding costs for some time. We've absorbed them. We talked in December and again in January about how the funding costs were rising and signalled, I think, reasonably clearly that we wanted to move away from the process of just making our rate changes whenever the Reserve Bank changed. This was the first real test for that process, and we think it's an important precedent to set that we can make small changes to recognise funding cost movements when they occur.
How much have your funding costs been rising, and how much has it been hurting the bank's bottom line?
Well, we've had significant increases. I mean, one example of that is some senior debt we issued last year at about a 1.35% over the bank bill rate. A similar term recently was done by one of the other banks, nearly 0.5% higher than that. And these are the sort of funding increases that we've had. And it's also flowed through our deposit book as well, of course. So it is quite severe. I think one of the other banks announced their quarterly results earlier this week and had quite a significant contraction in their margin in Australia. And all the banks are facing that type of pressure.
In that context, a 0.06 percentage point rise seems quite small given the PR risk you're facing. How much is it worth to ANZ, this 0.06 percentage point rise?
Well, it's we've got a lending book of something like $170 or $180 billion of home loans. So while it's a small amount in isolation, it's obviously a very big amount when you run it across the whole of the portfolio. So in annual terms, we're talking certainly over about, or around about a little over $100 million a year of revenue that we were falling short.
Does this increase in rates fully cover your increase in costs, or can customers expect further pressure on funding costs going forward?
Well, it certainly doesn't cover the full increase in our funding cost, but neither have we said that we would seek to recover every cent of our funding cost increase. We recognise that there's a little bit of sharing needs to occur here, and we have been absorbing for some months some of the increased funding costs, and we'll continue to do so.
You also mentioned in your statement the possibility that credit would start to be rationed in Australia if major banks didn't raise their rates to recover some of these funding costs. Do you expect your competitors to follow?
Well, it's really up to them, and I don't want to make too much of that comment. I guess we were just trying to draw attention to what happens in markets overseas when banks have become acutely unprofitable. They've had to pull back on credit, and we don't think that's a path that we should be going down in Australia. But whether other banks choose to follow us obviously is wholly up to them. It's a competitive environment.
Now, a lot of customers would look at your headline result last year. Your full year result was a statutory net profit of $5.4 billion. And they'd look at that and go, how can you claim to have pressure on your funding and your profits when you're making such large amounts of money? How would you respond to those customers?
Well, the numbers always look big, Michael. And I think what I'd like to draw our customers' attention to is just the size of the lending book that, and the size of the bank that $5.4 billion was earned over. We have a total balance sheet in the bank of over $500 billion, and that 540 is only about 1% return on that. So I know these numbers are very large, and understandably people see them as very large, but actually it's quite a fine line between having a strong profit and having a very weak profit or a loss when you're only earning about 1% return on your total assets.
The Treasurer has said that Australia's banks have one of the highest returns on equity of any financial institutions in the world.
Well, I think that's a little misleading, and I think we've made that point publicly, that the only reason that our returns on equity look high compared to banks overseas is that so many of them are losing money. I don't think using the example of European and American banks that are earning single-digit returns on equity is very helpful.
Are you expecting the Reserve Bank might then lower rates in future months in response if the other major banks do follow and also increase their rates out of cycle?
Look, that's really up to them. I don't want to second-guess what the Reserve Bank might do. They look at the overall shape of the economy and the forces at work, and one small factor in that is what banks do with their lending and deposit rates. I'm sure they look at that, but I wouldn't like to speculate as to whether this would be enough to trigger anything in their mind.
You've also increased small business lending rates. That seems to be quite a blow to a lot of businesses that are struggling with already with a high Australian dollar, poor retail sales, poor conditions in manufacturing and tourism.
Look, and that's one of the reasons that we've been putting this decision off for some time. You know, our numbers suggested we should have been doing this late last year, but frankly, we did recognise that we needed to absorb some of this because of its impact. As I said, there just comes a point where, from the point of view of trying to prudentially manage, prudently manage the bank, we do need to pass some of these costs on.
And without flagging your results, I'm assuming this will be borne out when your trading update comes out, I think,
yes,
next week?
We've got a trading update on Friday morning next week, so some of the items I've spoken about here today should be fairly evident in that.